and to share with you. We miss Debbie and Gordon, but we are glad to be here. Let's say our favorite verse together, all of us together. It's 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about faith and imaginations. Gordon talks, he's been talking about imagination somewhat. But, you know, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear the word of God, it should produce faith in us, if we believe it. The word will not produce unless we believe what it says. Amen? Amen. And just talking a little, or Gordon talking a little bit about imaginations, and I can't go too far. Sorry. I'm not used to all these contraptions. But anyway, the song that we sang, the second song, he turns graves into gardens. Help me, Stephen. Bones into armies, seas into highways. That's the last verse. You know, when you think about that, you have to use your imagination to think about that. Think about bones into armies. I mean, in Ezekiel, he says, rise up, dry bones. And Ezekiel says, but, you know, Lord. I like how Ezekiel says that all the time. You know, Lord. You know, can these bones live? You know, Lord. So, but imagine that. Imagine dry bones rising up. That is fabulous. Imagine the Red Sea drying up when the seas turn to highways, turns to roads, to highways, whatever he calls it, that the sea separated and dried up the ground so that they could go across. Imagine that. What a wonderful thing. I mean, God didn't say, okay, the seas are parted, you go ahead, get across quickly and as best you can. He dried up the ground so that they could get across. Isn't it wonderful? We serve a wonderful, wonderful God. Hallelujah. You know, Webster's dictionary says imaginations is the power, the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present. Isn't that interesting? Let me read that to you again. Imagination is the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Imaginations is the substance of what is not seen. So when we talk about imaginations, now we have our bad imaginations, and in the world that we live in, we're always bombarded with all kinds of things, and our imaginations can go to the bad side, to the dark side. But you know, if we will keep our mind stayed upon the Word of God and look to the Word of God, think on these things, the Lord says. Think on these things. We have faith is that substance of things hoped for. Imaginations is the substance of things not seen. Not seen. When the Hebrew children came to the Jordan River, they didn't see a river. But they knew their God could make a way. Joshua, Noah, or not Noah, but Moses knew there was a way to get them across. He knew that God had not brought them out there to let them die at the hand of the Pharaoh. He knew it, you know. And so their imagination, you know, sat there and waited. They knew that God could do something. They knew that he could. You know, and that's the way with us. We have to turn our imagination to the Word of God, and the Word of God gives us all of these promises, all kinds of promises about healing and health. He gives us promises of prosperity. a good life, a long and healthy life. He gives us a promise of wisdom and understanding. He gives us wisdom, he gives us imagination. He gives us these promises, and we can imagine those things. And that's what we need to think on, to imagine, to think about those things that God can do for us. Those things, those substances not seen. Maybe you have a sickness in your body or some malfunction in your body. Imagine that it's not there. Imagine that it's healed. Now, God does not tell you to deny that it's there. But if you will use your faith and your imagination and say, I am healed, and I see myself healed. I see that situation fixed financially. You know, we might not have the money, but use your imagination and see that situation rendered gone. There's things that you just don't understand. Say, Lord, I know that you know. Like Ezekiel, Lord, you know. Lord, you know. So he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we can see that imagination is the substance of what is not seen. Let's turn to John chapter 20. And we're going to look at verse 24, starting at verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. This is after the resurrection. And the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came to the door, being shut, and stood in the midst of them. Imagine that. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, and I like what Andrew Womack said about this. Jesus wasn't there when Thomas said this. But Jesus says to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Then Thomas answered and said, my Lord, my God. You know, Thomas could not imagine that Jesus was even alive. He did not believe that. Because if he said, I don't believe this, that had to be somebody else. Maybe it was somebody that looked like Jesus. But he said, I won't believe this until I see. Until I see him, I will not believe. Because you know, when the death happened, when Jesus died on the cross, all the disciples but John was gone. All of them. And so Thomas wasn't there. So when Jesus came back alive in the resurrection, Thomas wasn't there. He might have been around in that area, but you know, he didn't get to see Jesus like Peter, when Peter ran to the, and then said, he's not there. And then Mary had an encounter with him, and she said, my Lord, my Lord. And he said, I'm not ready to be, don't touch me because I'm not glorified. But, you know, the other disciples, even though they hadn't seen him, they believed. But Thomas said, I don't believe. I don't even believe what the disciples say, he says. He says, I don't believe you. Thomas had no imagination whatsoever. Praise the Lord. And then verse 29, Jesus says this to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe. You know, this is a wonderful thing, especially for us. Even though we have not seen Jesus, we believe. We believe. We accept their account of what happened, and we believe. And that's the same way with every promise that's in this word, every promise that's in the book. We may not see it physically, but if we will believe, it will happen. And just like faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but you have to believe that. You can hear lots of things, but until you believe it, it can't happen for you. So you've got to imagine, yes, this can happen. You know, I've had people say to me, I had one gentleman say to me, it's just a book. Just a bunch of men wrote those stories. How do you know that's true? He didn't believe. He couldn't imagine that people wrote these stories and this was the word of God. It was just stories in a book to him. He couldn't imagine that this was the word that God was speaking. He just couldn't believe that. And that's sad. That is a sad commentary when you can't believe what God is saying. So we've got to believe, because Jesus says we are blessed when we believe, even though we don't see. Matthew 9, there it is, Matthew chapter 9. Here's another account, Matthew 9 verse 20. This is the account of the woman with the issue of blood. And he says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. And she said to herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. She imagined herself well. We hear stories, you know, we've heard people talk about this, and that you know, she must have traveled for many miles. And this may be really true, that she traveled for many miles to get to this place, because in those days, if she had shown up around friends that were there and she had shown up in that place, they would have begun to yell, unclean, unclean, because they knew her situation. So this woman obviously traveled for quite some distance to get to see Jesus. But she imagined in her heart, she believed in her heart. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. You know, if we would have such faith today, if we would just reach out and touch Jesus, like today, and he said, if you'll just reach out, if you'll receive what I have for you, if you'll take what I have for you, you know, and we see miracles sometimes as these great, miraculous things that happen. I mean, like arms growing out and all, you know. But if it's something that you need today, it is a miracle to you, even if it's a small thing. And we can get real spiritual and, you know, put all these in their little categories. Well, Roxanne, that was a healing. They're all healings. They're all deliverances. They're all helps. But if you need it, it's important. And God's saying, even, no matter how small it is, he has that deliverance for you. He has that healing for you. He has that miracle for you. He has that financial aid for you. He has those things that you need. If we could just believe, if we'll just imagine, if we'll have faith. So many times we make faith this difficult thing. You know, I just don't have enough faith. You have faith. Everybody has faith. You just got to use it. You got to train it to do what it's supposed to do. You got to train it to believe what God says. That's what faith is. Training your imagination, training your believer to believe what God says to you. That's faith. Just taking God at his word and believing what he says is true. And it's really interesting, because he says, as he said to her, you know, he turned to her and he says, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Not his faith, not the touch in his garment, not because she was in his presence. And so many times we think we have to be in the presence of God. We have to have that right place, that right time, that right song that's sung. We got to be in church. We got to have that right minister. You know, and honestly, a lot of people do think that unless the right person touches them, they cannot receive of God. And that's a sad commentary. That's sad to think about that, because it's not that person. It is Jesus who's doing the healing. It is Jesus who you are, he says in one scripture, virtue went out of him. You've got to draw out the virtue, the healing virtue of Jesus for yourself. You have to draw it out. Your faith will make it come to pass. Your faith will cause it to happen. You have faith. Use it. Train it and use it for what you need. In 1 Peter 1, chapter 8, it says, even though you haven't seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you haven't seen him, you believe in him. That's us, people. That's us. That's us. Even though we haven't seen him, we love him. And even though we haven't seen him, we believe in him. Amen. Amen. Turn with me there to 1 Peter. Let's look at that. To 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved with various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In this life, we will have tribulation. Jesus promised us that. Thank you, Jesus. We face all kinds of trials and hardship. As a young family, many times we worry about money and we worry about our children. And people say, Roxanne, we don't worry. Yes, we do. Okay, we're concerned, okay? But I'm going to use worry here today because all of us worry at times. So we worry, you know, like I said, as a young family, we worry about many things as a young family. I remember, you know, as a young married couple, we worry about, getting things right or how much money we might have or the kids. You know, you just worry about, you know, are they doing right? Are they growing up right? Are they learning in school? Are they behaving themselves? We worry about them, you know, and especially as they get a little older, you know, and you send them off to school and you worry about them. You worry because you think, Lord, I hope that I've done right. I hope I've given them everything they need. But we still are concerned about them. And we've got to put our faith in the Lord, but we still take it back and worry. As we grow older, we worry about how this generation of young people are going to make it. And, you know, that really is a concern nowadays. Dick and I talk about this. How is this young generation going to make it? You know, I can just imagine my mom and dad thinking this, too. I come home and my love beads on and flowers in my hair and bring my boyfriend home and he's got hair down to his shoulders. And I probably put my father in an early grave. You know, my dad was in the Army during World War II. And so you know what I'm dealing with. So, but you know, as we get older, we worry about this young generation and if they're going to make it. We worry about our health. You know, this is an awful thing to say, but people at our age, seems like more people are dying around us than it did. I don't know about you, but when I pick up the newspaper, what's the first thing that you look at? Obituaries, that's right. It's a bad, bad habit. But we worry about those things. We worry about the things that are going on in the world. More recently, we worry about the virus. We worry about what is happening politically. But you know, Peter tells us, you're going to have trials, and a bit of them are going to be fiery. Whew, don't want to think about that. But if we keep the faith, think about this. Rejoice in the fact that if we keep the faith, in the end, we will receive the salvation of our souls, he says. Now, the salvation of your soul is totally different than being born again. The soul is the mind, the will, resolve, as Gordon calls it, and emotions. The salvation of the soul will take on reliance upon the word. That's how we save our souls. We have to rely upon the word of God. There's no other way to save your soul because we worry. Because there are trials and tribulations, because there are fiery trials out there right now, because we all have children and grandchildren, we have nieces and nephews, we have people that we're just concerned about. But you know, if we'll begin to rely upon the word, because it's all in our heart and in our mind that has to be changed, that has to be saved. Our spirit man is born again. He's new. He's just like God. You know, he's fine. And he's just trying to get you to line up and get your soul lined up with the word of God that lines up with him. And that takes reliance upon the word. It takes faith and imagination. Because what we see may not be pleasant, but if we apply faith, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen, we will make it through. We got to keep the faith, babe. You know, we got to keep the faith. So if we will rely upon the Lord, renew our minds in the word, we will make it through. Go to the word, see what he says, and imagine and begin to think on these things, the Lord says. Think on the things that are above, the things, not the things beneath. Because the things that above are eternal, and the things beneath are not mortal. So we are not eternal, is what I'm trying to say. So we got to look to those things which are not seen. And that takes an imagination. It takes imagination to see those things that are not present at the time, those things which we cannot see. We got to think on those things that are above and not beneath. If we will keep our thoughts, our imaginations on the word, believing, if we believe, we shall have joy and be glorified, Peter says here in this scripture. And joy will get you through. That's the thing, one of the things that we definitely need in this day and age. When we're worried, rely upon the word. Rely upon the Lord. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of the Lord help you. It's not my joy, it's his joy. It's not my joy. It's the joy of the Lord that strengthens me and gets me through. It's the joy of the Lord that glorifies us. It's faith in him, believing that he can bring us through. Imagine yourself coming through. Imagine yourself well. Imagine yourself in those ways that God has tells us to imagine ourselves. In Isaiah 26:3, says that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord because we trust him. You know, we trust the Lord, and so we got to keep our mind upon him, keep our mind upon the Lord. Imagine what the word says. Imagine what your life will be like. You know, so many times as we get older, and so many of us here are older, we just kind of give up on our imagination. We give up what we see the future as. And we've got to hold on to that. Imagine what your life will be like in 20 years. And don't say, oh, I'll be sicker, I'll be weaker, I'll be older, I'll be feeble. So much of the world, it says, well, you don't have much to look forward to, you know. You probably, you know, and the very time that you can't remember that thing, I hate this commercial. When mom couldn't find her words, we began to look for a place for her. I hate that commercial. Because sometimes I can't find my words. And I hope my kids aren't looking at me thinking, we need to find a place to put mom, you know. And, you know, or people say that to you all the time. They'll say, well, I'm having an Alzheimer's time, my moment right now, you know. And it's just like, don't say those things. Speak the word. You know, it says that when Moses died at 120 years old, he was clear in his mind, his body was not feeble, and his eyes could see clearly. And, you know, I confess that for myself. My body is not feeble. You know, I am able, I am strong, my mind is healthy and well, and I see very clearly. And I praise God that that's what we need to do as an older generation. Hold on, see your future, but don't see it as the world tells you that they need a place to put you in a few years. You know, don't go there. Stay sharp. You know, stay in the word. I'll tell you, some of these older ministers that you look at nowadays, they're sharp. They are sharp. Do you realize Kenneth Copeland is probably 81 years old right now? I mean, he is still a sharp man. I mean, there's times when he stumbles a bit, but you know what? He's still pretty sharp, and that's because his mind is stayed upon the Lord. And God keeps him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. And he will do the same for us. If we will get in that word, let it dwell richly in us, and let it be what God has called it to be. God says his word is life and health and strength to us. And if we'll receive that word into ourselves, it will be that to us. It will. But you have to believe that it will. Can you believe that today? Can you believe what the word says about you today? Can you believe today that God is for you, and that he's not letting you dwindle away, and he's not saying, well, you're getting older, you know, it's almost time to pass over here now, so we'll just let you do it. He's not saying that to you. He's not saying that to us. God is with us, and God is for us, and he wants us to be strong. You know who he wants us to be like? He wants us to be like Enoch. And we will walk with God till we are no more. Isn't that's an exciting verse to think about, that Enoch walked with God. And then he just went on home to be with the Lord. And that's full of vigor, mind clear, not feeble. That's what God wants for us. But we must begin to believe it, imagine it, and receive it as our own. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, if you don't know Jesus, you can't. It's hard for you to receive those things. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's hard to believe that you won't get feeble. It's hard to believe that as you grow older, that there is no hope. But Jesus, if you ask Jesus into your heart and make him your Lord and your Savior, he will raise you up. He will cause you to ride upon high places. He will draw you up to him. He will show you the way to go. He will give you life and strength and health and life eternal. He will give you life on earth and life eternal if you will receive him today. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father God, we worship you today. We thank you for Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we receive all that you have for us. We believe that you died on a cross, but you rose again. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that you are Lord. And Jesus, we receive you today. We receive your life. We receive your health. We receive your prosperity. Father God, we worship you and thank you for all that you have given us, that you have drawn us into your kingdom on this earth, that we might walk with you and to know you more and more each day. Be with us, Lord, Father God. We praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name, and we give you all the glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you.